This is Mindless Musings, with intro music provided by Audionautics. That's www.audionautics.com. One of my go-tos for royalty-free music for all my YouTube and podcast needs. I don't want this to be a two-hour show.
Yeah, okay, no problem.
Not. Good boy, Buck.
All right, guys, it is Wednesday night, July 7th, 2021. My God, I can't believe it's already July. I don't know where this year's been. This is the Mindless Musings podcast. I'm your host, DJ. With me, I want to welcome again one of this, three-man tag. Jason, welcome back.
Thank you, sir. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing all right. It's, you know, there's a lot going on in life right now, and it's kind of taking its toll. And it's, we're looking at, it's been 2 weeks since we've been here, and you know, I'm not going to get too deep into the water on what's going on with me, but I'm getting by. I'm doing all right, man. Thank you.
Excellent.
And with us again, as part of this, three-man tag team from the Rob the Genius podcast, Rob Bonnet, sir, welcome back. How you doing?
All right, hanging in there, just like you, man. Getting by. You know, this is kind of a tough week. Yeah, we're sending Dad off this week, so you know, it's been kind of a tough week for that. But I mean, otherwise, doing okay. And you know, and you guys have been a part of me doing okay. So thank you.
Man, you're welcome, buddy. And you know, we're here for you. You know, if in spirit, word, whatever you need, man, just you know, reach out.
Absolutely.
So first thing I want to do is apologize to, you know, the those of you that do listen and the two actual fans that I know we have. We took 2 weeks off. You know, 2 weeks ago, we did a show and we talked a bit about what's going on with Rob. And, you know, Jason wasn't here for that show. He had some prior engagements. So we really have been kind of hit or miss the last couple of weeks, and we're going to try and get this train back on the tracks. I do want to apologize to you guys for not giving you any heads up. Usually I'm pretty good about throwing it out there on Twitter, but I've just been so exhausted at night, emotionally, mentally, that it just, that to be honest with you, doing a podcast was kind of the furthest thing from my mind. So if you're still hanging in there, we appreciate you. We love you for it. And we're going to get going here tonight. We got a little bit to talk about. It's not been a super crazy week in the world of professional wrestling. I'm sure there's probably some things we could get in on. But I guess we can – where do you guys want to start tonight? It looks like some NXT – people. I guess Vince was at, the Performance Center, what, last week?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so it's obviously scouting some talent, possibly looking to move some people up, and there's been some notable people who got some either, you know, dark matches on a show or actually were featured on Main Event. Looks like Bronson Reed and Karrion Kross were on one night. Tony Storm, Shotzi Blackheart, and Tegan Nox were on a different night. And I guess we can dig in here one at a time and kind of talk about each one, how we feel their outlook is for, you know, moving up to the main roster and where we think we ought to go. Rob, why don't we start with you? Why don't you pick down the list here and tell us what you think, and you know, tell us how you think they're going to go.
Okay, well, I think Bronson Reed is definitely a go. I mean, he lost the North American title to Swerve, so there's nothing right now. There's no reason for him to stay. And he hasn't been on TV since then. So I think he's definitely a go. And probably he might be the first one, actually, because he's all set. And I think Toni Storm looks like she's going to have a match against Saray and sometime soon. So that'll probably be her swan song in NXT. And like, there's nothing for her to stick around for either. She's not going to win any titles there, it looks like. So, and she's been basically putting people over the past month or so. So, there's nothing there for her to stick around for. So, I think they're the two definites. Tegan Nox just showed back up last night and got into it with Candice LeRae. So, they're going to have some type of match or something in a few weeks, I'm assuming. She might stay down there a little bit longer. Personally, if I were her, I'd probably want to get on the main roster because she's had all those injuries and she needs to get as close to the real money as she possibly can. And, you know, because, you know, I mean, look, she's had, you know, multiple like ACL tears and whatnot. And, you know, who knows how long she's going to actually have to go.
Right.
So if I'm her, you know, I want to get as close to the real money as possible. So you can maybe at least get some of the real money, you know? So I would think that I'm guessing she'll be up soon. I think Shotzi, well, she's definitely coming. I think, cause again, I don't think there's any title. There's no, I don't think she's going to, the NXT women's title, I don't think is in her future. And I don't think it really has to be for her because she's got a great persona and character and all of that. And I'm sure, look, Vince probably he wants to start getting those toy tanks ready to go.
And oh, helmets. God, yeah.
Those tanks and helmets and maybe green wigs even ready to go. And so I don't think she's going to be around much longer. They might hold off until, like, the Royal Rumble or something, you know, because her making a big entrance there on the tank would be really cool.
Oh, yeah.
And Cross, I mean, it's just, it's a matter of, you know, what type of road they're going to have to taking the title off of him. But I do think he is coming. And like I said a few weeks ago, whatever improvement or, you know, leap that's going to be made with him, I think is going to be made up there. Mm-hmm. I think it's too awkward, at least from where I'm sitting with him down there, because like I said, he's stuck working with guys that he should be like murdering, but he has to go kind of 50-50 with them because it's just kind of the way it is down there.
Right.
So I think whatever improvement or ground there is for him to make is going to happen up there and not in NXT. So I think he'll be there in a few months. who else?
I think that was everybody.
Yeah, now they did have one guy work a dark match who's going to be in that NXT breakout tournament. And I think his name is like Odyssey or Odysseus or something or other.
Okay.
And he's huge. He's like 6'5", 400 pounds.
Holy cow. Oh,
yeah. So they showed him last night at, you know, when they, cause they, last night they introduced everybody that's in the breakout tournament thing. And
yeah,
and he's huge. He's like 400 pounds. And
woo. Big boy season is back in the World Wrestling Federation.
And there were a couple of guys, other guys there also who were, you know, on the heavier side. So yeah, I mean, yeah, it's it's coming back, baby.
Oh, I love to see it. I'm here for the meaty man slapping meat.
Yeah,
absolutely. Let's get some Hoss fights on this card.
So that guy, and it would not be like he's going to be in the breakout thing, but if they looked at him up there already, I kind of get the feeling that it might, you know, we might get the same thing with him that we got with Almost and with now he's not Babatunde. He was Commander Aziz.
Yeah, Commander Aziz now.
Yeah, so I think it might be the same type of deal that we got with them, where maybe he works, he'll do the breakout tournament thing and maybe do a couple of matches here or there, but that guy will probably be up there sooner than later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. What was that? All right, Jason, what about you? Go down the list and tell me what you think and where you think they're going.
Well, I don't know where anyone's going because the rumor is, and I don't know if they've confirmed it yet, but there is a shakeup or a draft or something coming. So,
yeah, in August.
If I look at it and go, well, this show's a little thin on this guy, and that guy goes a little thin on women, and this show's a little thin on tag team, blah, 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 blah. It could all be topsy-turvy by the end of all this. But with that said, I think, Bronson and... because Bronson is... he is done cooking. There's nothing else that guy needs to do down there. He does not need to be NXT champion. He does not need to have another NA title run. He's ready to go, and I think he's bound for, you know, I don't want to say like superstardom or anything like that, but he's going to make some noise on the main roster, and I think they're going to be behind him in a big way, at least at the start. Tegan is I just didn't she like snap one ACL, recover, and then snap the other one, or she snapped both of them at the same time or something ridiculous?
I think one, it was like not at the same time, but it was one then the other, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's it was like she did one in the Mae Young Classic.
That's it.
She got injured, came back, and then almost immediately injured the other one or something like that. Like the poor girl's just had like the worst luck, and bless her heart, she keeps trying.
And you know what? She is the shiniest wizard. She is a great professional wrestler. I don't think you throw her into a title feud with Charlotte from the get-go. But yeah, you could put her on the main roster having like non-championship stuff immediately, and she can learn from there, and let's start making this girl some money. Because like Rob said, like after that kind of stuff happens, don't you just want to you don't want to put them in bubble wrap or anything, but you want to just give them, listen, we don't know how much you got left. I mean, I hate to sound like that and be dire, like whatever, but let's get you in front of as many people as possible, because she's awesome. So everybody else, and then there are rumors of other guys who aren't even, weren't even in that, that Thunderdome little tryout, because Cross was on it. So Cross, and please, everybody spare me with the, you can't have it both ways, people. You can't complain like, oh, I can't believe Main Event's even on TV. Oh, this guy got relegated to Main Event and blah, blah, blah. And then when Karrion Kross comes out, oh, well, he didn't get the fog machine. He didn't get Scarlett. He didn't do blah, 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 blah. Because I'm always the guy saying, like, you know, hey, guys, Main Event's actually pretty darn good. But in this case, I'm going to switch roles and be like, guys, relax. It's Main Event.
It's an audition.
He just had to come out to his music and wrestle. Anyway, I think Cross just stays getting absolutely cooked in promos and whatnot. It's interesting. So I think he moves up. I wouldn't be shocked if he moved up very, very, very soon. And they were just like, all right, let's just see what we got with this guy, and go from there. But I'm excited because I like this period of NXT kind of turnover where because of the pandemic and everything, usually there's always a little bit of a couple month lull once there's a massive call-ups. And like everybody that was lower on the ladder tries to move their way up and everybody tries to find their new place in the new pecking order. I feel like that, like some of these people are like in great positions. And I feel like this transition, even if it is a fairly big call-up class, I think this transition is going to be pretty seamless, because they've got brand new stars in all the top positions, pretty much, you know, because LA Knight hasn't been here that long. MSK just got here. Again, Legado del Fantasma in NXT, not that long, and he might be off to greener pastures sooner rather than later anyway. So yeah, it's a very, very cool time to be an NXT fan.
Yeah, I agree with you guys on that. One thing that's interesting is with all these guys being called up is the upcoming class. You've got this kid, what was it, Parker Boudreau, that everybody's really, really salivating about right now because he's like the second coming of Brock Lesnar. I think sooner than later you're going to see that kid on TV. How ready he is to be determined. When I look at the list of, you know, potential call-ups and the people who have had the main event job auditions over the last few weeks, Toni Storm is definitely one who you can jettison her right to the main roster, and definitely don't put her in a main event title feud right away. Just have her run the mid-card. She's perfectly fine in the mid-card for a little while. I do see Toni Storm eventually winning at least one, maybe two or three, you know, either small Raw or SmackDown Women's Championships. She's that good. And as long as she doesn't have those jitters that Rhea Ripley has, and I don't think she will because she's got quite a bit more experience than Rhea does, I think she'll do well. I think she'll eventually, you know, carve out a lane for herself. And that lane will probably hover near the top. She'll kind of drift in and out, if you know what I mean. Tegan Knox, I got to agree with you, Jason. She's a hell of a professional wrestler. She's a hell of an athlete. I like her. I like her a lot. I don't see her as being somebody who hovers in or near the main event very often. I think once in a while she'll probably get a shot, but I can definitely see her being somebody who is a fixture in that mid-card status. And that's really not a bad spot to have, especially if you're regularly on TV. Who else? We had Shotzi Blackheart speaks for herself. Shotzi is a marketing just ATM cash machine waiting to happen. And even if she never, ever wins any major title, they're going to make a lot of money, and she's going to make a lot of money off of being Shotzi Blackheart. I think of everybody they've picked up in the last 3 years, that is the one with the most built-in marketability coming in the door.
Yeah.
You know, between the tank and the helmets, and like Rob said, maybe even the green wigs. I think she's got that potential to just make not only herself but that company a ton of money, mostly on the road, because that's where people will buy that stuff. They'll go, they'll see the girl, they'll see the tank, and I want the tank, and you know, and half the arena that are kids will leave with tanks. So yeah, definitely looking for big things from Shotzi Blackheart. Again, I don't know that she's anybody that they'll build the division around, but definitely somebody who's going to be a mainstay on TV, provided she stays healthy.
Yeah, I could see that, definitely.
Yeah.
Bronson Reed, I can't say anything more than you guys have already said. He's built in and ready to go. He's ready to go. I watched him come out on Main Event, and he looks so confident. Like, he walked out there, he knew where he was, he knew who he was, and he's ready to just go. And I think I said, who was it that I wanted to see him in a big match? Him and Otis. I am dying to see him and Otis in a big man Hoss fight. I just, that they could tear the house down. Those two could. The biggest question mark in the air for me is going to be Karrion Kross. As we've talked about him quite a bit on this show, I like the pal. I think he's got a great look. He's good enough in the ring. Where it stops for me is I still, you know, we're almost a year into this Karrion Kross thing, and I don't know what the gimmick is. Like, we start off with he's almost some spooky, smoke and mirrors, medieval barbarian, and then he's a blackjack dealer or like some mafia muscle. And, you know, those are all fine, but pick one.
Right.
You know, we got to pick one and we got to stick with it. And if they're going to ride that line with the supernatural and him and Scarlet and everything like that, you're going to have to not ride the line. You got to lean all the way into it, or you're going to run into the same problem you did with Aleister Black. Like, Aleister Black had this incredible character, and they just never leaned all the way in on it. I think this is going to be one of those situations, and maybe I'll end up being wrong. I hope not. I think Vince will bring the best out of this guy, and that's something that Vince does very well. He challenges people to be better versions of what they are, and I think he probably sees a diamond in the rough, albeit very rough, with Karrion Kross. There's a character in there somewhere. It may just take Vince to drag it out of him.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
That makes sense.
Yeah, kind of like Baron Corbin. I always go back to Baron Corbin, because NXT Baron Corbin, if he had gotten cut loose while he was still in NXT, I wouldn't have shed a tear.
Yep, same.
No, now, Baron Corbin tops my probably top five people who I enjoy seeing on TV. Not necessarily my top five favorite wrestler, but my top five favorite people I enjoy seeing on TV, just because he's figured out who he is. And it took being on the main roster and working with Vince to figure that out.
I mean, he's always entertaining. Like, whatever he's doing, he's entertaining. Yes. When he was like first on the main roster, you know, he still had like the From the Wastelands gimmick or whatever. Whatever was going on there. He even still tried to make that work. He put the King gimmick, like, oh my God, that was amazing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then now this hobo thing he's doing, the king, the popper, the prince turned into the popper.
Oh, this is great. This is great TV.
Like,
yeah.
Kudos to him for letting his hair grow out, knowing where his hairline is.
So, hey, look here, pal.
Hey, you know what? No, but I'm saying, like, you're not in front of millions and millions of people, and you're
this
not
is true.
In the company of you're in the company of me and Rob. You're not in the company of friggin' Roman Reigns and Big E and all these good looking dudes.
Yeah, like, Roman Reigns' hair pisses me off, man. And Edge. Oh, yeah. What the hell is Edge still doing with that much hair at almost 50 years old? You stop, sir. You piss me off.
Hey, he got the grays at least.
Oh, he's got the grays, but he's still got a full head of hair. My hair can go white. I don't care. As long as it stays on the top of my head, and it's not. You know, it's... But, yeah,
that's how I feel, too. Oh.
Sorry, uh-oh. Bucky the Wonder Dog. He's on to something.
We just had thunder roll through, so.
Oh, we had that earlier today.
Yeah. We caught a little bit of that that tropical storm / hurricane that went into the Gulf. We had some wind and some rain from that most of the day today.
Yeah, and I think we're getting what you guys had. So Bucky's none too pleased with the rolling thunder out there, but hopefully the pal figures it out.
How did he do with the fireworks?
Okay, this is the funniest story, and I'm going to take 2 minutes to tell this story.
Okay.
We live in a pond neighborhood, so I don't know, like, rural, I mean, just imagine the Cape, or just, like, forested areas with ponds everywhere. It's just these nice little houses. And so there's all these ponds everywhere, and everyone lives on the ponds, and there's kind of this little truce on the 4th of July with the cops. That as long as everyone's not an asshole, we'll just let the fireworks go on July 4th weekend, and we'll just let it go. Because I've seen cops, like, drive by and keep driving when people are setting on fireworks. So he was great all day, inside the house, outside the house, because people are setting on fireworks all the time. Boom, 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 boom. And then finally we were outside in our yard at, like, 9 o'clock at night. And we're looking up at all around the house. So, like, there's fireworks going off in all ends of the neighborhood. Finally, and he's just looking around, just like, wow, this is cool. And we took it down to the lake. And all of a sudden, one went off, like, at our neighbor's house. Like, way closer than any of the other ones. Just this boom! And, it wasn't the normal animal reaction of just instantaneous running. The boom went off. There was a beat. He looked at me, turned, and just beelined right inside. But he didn't run. He just calmly walked inside. And like, as we were walking inside, I was like, yep, I respect your decision. We've had enough fireworks. That's enough. Let's go inside. All right.
That's great.
It was awesome, dude. He just did the double take, looked up, and he was like, all right, I'm about to head out.
That's enough. Time for bed. Yep. How about you, Rob? What'd you get up to for the 4th?
Oh, man, I was here. I cooked some steak, ate it.
and
that just, it was really good. But you know how it is when you eat beef, it makes you want to lay down and go to sleep.
It does. It sits on your guts like a brick, man. Yeah, I made steaks a couple weeks ago, and I had like this big steak, like probably like an 8 ounce in front of me. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to eat every bite of this sucker. Nope, half.
Absolutely.
Yeah, oh, man. But it was good, though. It was really good. And then... what was I doing after that? Because it was on a... what did I do? I went for a walk after that, and then I think just pulled some stuff off the old DVR, I think. Either that or I did some PS4 stuff or something. Kids weren't here that weekend, so...
I was going to ask you if you had the kids that weekend.
Yeah, and then... But now they were still shooting fireworks off... Monday night for sure. Yeah. So I guess they finally exhausted all of them.
Oh god.
But
you can buy them down where you are, right?
Oh, it's really weird. Like there are places you can buy them, but you're not supposed to shoot them off.
Oh, so it's a weird county by county kind of thing, or town by town?
Yeah, almost,
if you want to shoot them off, you got to go to Shelbyville.
Yeah, well, like, because I know, like, in Baltimore City, I think you can't, they don't mess with you if you shoot them off, but you can't buy them there. So people go to Baltimore County, which is right outside of the city, and buy all their fireworks, and they bring them in. right? That, you know, that's how it was there. I'm in Howard County now, and I have no, I didn't see them being sold anywhere. So I think maybe you can't buy them here, but that, you know, they're not going to mess with you if you shoot them off. It's one of those. It is weird. Maryland is weird. There are places, because yeah, there are places where you can buy but not use, and then there are places where you can use them but you can't buy them, and it's just really weird.
What about you, DJ? What are the rules down there?
I honestly, I don't know what the rules are. We have two major, like, big fireworks. There's Phantom Fireworks and Sky King Fireworks, and they're both within. They're in the same county I'm in. I'm in Brevard County. And they, they're about maybe a 10-minute drive away, and they're actually about...
Phantom's huge, aren't they? Like, they go to...
Yeah, they're a huge, like, nationwide chain.
Yeah, okay.
And Sky King is as well. They're not quite as big as Phantom. Phantom's where I go. Sky King, to me, was where our Sky King is. It's, like, 2 minutes down the road from Phantom, and it's, like, in this sketchy little... it's a big building. It's, like, a big warehouse. But it sits adjacent to a really sketchy-looking strip mall where there's, like... There's like a head shop in there, and there's a liquor store in there.
Is there a
and
then there's buffet?
There's not a buffet, but there's like I think there's like a laundromat or something. It's like it's like shady alley going down through here. I'm like, I don't think amazing. I'm going to be buying fireworks from here. So we went to Phantom because I bought from there last year. And the interesting thing with Phantom is when you go in, you have to show your license and you have to fill out all this paperwork. And the last thing you fill out is a piece of paper stating there's like a little box that you have to check off. And they won't let you buy anything if you don't check yes on the box, stating that you're using the fireworks to scare away birds. So that's really, that was the other thing that Sky King didn't do. And at the end of the day, why I chose not to go there, we just kind of walked in and started browsing around and they didn't even stop you for your ID or anything at Phantom. You don't even get in the door without filling out paperwork and showing. So I'm like, okay, this whole outfit here seems a little sketchy. I'm going to go down to the guys that are doing the paperwork. It seemed a little more legitimate to me.
Right.
We ended up buying a ton more. Dude, I ain't gonna lie. I spent almost $300 in fireworks this year. I got a ton of stuff, and we probably launched about half of it.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Yeah. Awesome. So, and believe me, my son and I were going at it for probably a good hour and a half or so, just launching stuff. And there's still probably half as much left over. So we've got stuff for New Year's. I got to see if he's with me. But it was a good time. I got one. If I still have it on my phone and I didn't delete it, I'll have to share a video with you guys in the chat. There's one where he put a bottle rocket or something in the ground and it like launched. But instead of going up, he had it at too far of an angle and it like launched straight across the street towards where the neighbors were lighting fireworks. It's great. I'll have to share the video with you guys because it's pretty funny. And he like stopped. He looked at me. He's like, oh, shit. I'm like, yeah, maybe you better point those a little bit more towards the sky, son, or else they're going to start shooting back at us, and I'm not here for that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I don't need World War III with the fireworks in this neighborhood. But, all in all, man, it was a good time. It did rain quite a bit. We were a little worried. When I say rain, man, it was like Noah's flood at, like, 8 o'clock. I'm looking out. I'm like, dude, I'm a little worried here. And he's looking at me. He's like, man, this sucks if it keeps raining. And then, like, by about 8:45, it had stopped enough and then eventually stopped completely that we were able to do it. But, yeah, there was a good half an hour there where I didn't think we were even going to be able to go outside.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. All in all, a good weekend.
Good.
All right, so let's steer the ship back into some wrestling here. And I want to kind of, and I talked to you guys a little bit about this earlier on, I wanted to dip into the promo that Eddie Kingston cut a couple weeks ago, and then Bully Ray's response to that on Busted Open. For those of you that are familiar, Eddie Kingston cut a fan cell phone or something. It wasn't even like a company camera. It was like a cell phone. It was after Dynamite went off the air. He cut this promo, and it was basically, again, it was another jab at WWE, although he never mentioned it by name. It was the other company, the other locker room. And
the other channel.
The other channel. And that's
what he used.
Well, I mean, these guys are going to do whatever they can to draw eyes in on the product. And in the grand scheme, you know, somebody poking fun at WWE as a whole, okay, whatever it takes to get your name out there, pal. Where I took exception and where I feel like a lot of people took exception is when he basically made the comment that you'll find more heart in this locker room than you will on the other channel or the other show. And to me, okay, it's one thing if if you tried out for WWE and they told you no, and you got sour grapes over that, hey man, I get it. It's an ego bruising thing. And you want to, you probably got some frustration you want to take out on that. Don't you dare take it out on the talent. Cause if you think for a minute, the WWE locker room doesn't have heart. If you can say that 48 hours after Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley beating the absolute hell out of each other at Hell in the Cell, if you can say that after Bianca Belair and Bayley beating the hell out of each other at Hell in the Cell, if you can say that with a straight face after Roman Reigns coming back from leukemia, dude, I got no respect for you. At least have enough respect for your peers, even if you don't like the company. And that was my biggest beef with the whole thing. Rob, what about you? What do you think?
Oh, sorry.
I guess, well, all right, so a couple of things. One, because you know, when you complain about that, then people are like, well, they usually always take shots at each other. And so my retort to that is they said stuff that was actually funny.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, when they did the, you know, the Huckster and the, when they did a bunch of skits basically making fun of Hogan and Savage for being old guys in WCW,
yep.
Those skits were funny. All right. Yep. And even as a WCW loyalist, I saw it and I was like, okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I got no response.
But this isn't like, this is just the airing of grievances just over and over and over. And then I guess what gets me with him in particular is that he paints this picture like that place just wasn't for me. And it's like, yeah, dude, you tried out there.
Yeah, no, the reality was you weren't for them.
Right.
That's like, you know, Halle Berry's just not for me. Not my kind of girl. Nope.
Nope. It couldn't be me there.
No way. Nope. she could call me right now and I'd say no.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm serious. I mean, that's how it comes off to me. And it's... and the thing about the heart. Go ahead, Jason. Now go back in.
Dude, your best friend used to work there and made millions upon millions of dollars, met his wife, was in part of one of the biggest things ever in wrestling. And you're going to tell me that guy doesn't have any heart? All right, cool. Or did he just magically discover his heart? Once he showed up at All Out, get out of here with that. And then this is really annoying because I love Eddie. And like up to this point, I've heard nothing even like this from Eddie. He'll do a jab here and there. And it's usually just at the whole company or at Vince or at, you know, and it's just like side of the mouth kind of stuff. And that stuff's whatever. But like, you're literally calling out your peers who could be your coworkers in 6 months. And
yeah.
So maybe just dial it back a little bit. And it also, it's funny that he cuts that a few weeks after Bianca's whole promo of like, why does everybody talk about that? We all work hard. Everyone works hard. Like, and I get it. Not everybody has as much heart as everyone in the industry. Not all hearts and work ethics are created equal, but there are plenty of hard workers at TNT, on Dynamite, there are a boatload of them. And yes, on the other two networks, and probably the other 15 as well. There's a lot of hard workers in every single company. And I think it's very, it wasn't disappointing. I don't know the guy. But it was just a bummer to hear him like cut that kind of baseline, you know, do it all elite. Twitter, like somebody who has it all elite in their Twitter handle, that's the crap I expect to come from them, not Eddie Kingston. So that was a bummer, but whatever, move on. I mean, obviously he was putting over his company, so you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, and like, okay, put over your company, that's fine. Everybody puts over their company. Everybody on every wrestling show. For every company, they say that we are the best. This is the best wrestling in the world right here. If we had, you know, the Mindless Musings Wrestling Federation, we would be saying that every week. Okay.
Probably.
That's That's not a problem. That is never
a
problem.
You know why? Because that's what you're supposed to say.
Yes, exactly.
It's like when someone makes I saw it on Twitter today. DJ, I think it was you. Somebody, Karrion Kross said was it you, DJ? Karrion Kross said, I want to be WWE champion. And people were laughing at that. And then somebody just said, that's what he should say.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you? Why are you in the business if that's not your goal?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And, right. And so,
yeah, go ahead.
No problem. My bad. No problem. But, enough with it. Okay.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like I said, I'm pretty much just anymore side eye the AEW versus WWE because it's all a big bullshit game anyway. And if he wants to go out there, and you should, you work for AEW and you believe in AEW, and hell, they gave you a job when WWE didn't, so you should be proud of them. You should be proud of yourself, and you know you should believe in them and believe in yourself. But no, don't get out there and insult the workers, because there are probably some guys in WWE who have gotten comfortable. You know, there's definitely some people there who are like, okay, this is my role. I'm fine with it. You know, I'm good. You know, this is good enough for me. And maybe they don't want more, or maybe they realize that, okay, this is my lane. I'm never going to get out of it. And they've resolved themselves to that's it, as long as I'm making a paycheck. Okay, that's fine, but you're going to find that anywhere, because there are probably definitely some people sitting backstage who haven't been on TV on AEW in a while who are like, you know what, as long as they're paying me, I'll sit back here.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just that. And you're going to find that at any job, not just wrestling. You know, you're going to find that anywhere. They got the guy that flies below the radar, does just enough work to get by. Management never really raises an eyebrow because they don't really see him. He just collects a paycheck for 30 years, retires, and goes about his business. Every industry has it. So, but for him to sit there and imply that AEW has more heart than WWE, I couldn't more strongly disagree. And Bully Ray made some comments on that, and this was something that I totally agreed with Bully. Get yourselves over. Like, get yourselves over without mentioning WWE every week. You want to throw a jab out there every couple of months, like, hey, we're out here and we still know we're still gunning for you guys. Okay, that's fine. But it just seems like anymore, they can't help themselves. If it's not the Bucks on Being the Elite, it's Cody on any given platform that the guy can get his, you know, get himself on. It's this shit with, you know, people 2 years later still asking Moxley, so what'd you think of WWE, pal? You know, he's only answered that question 115 times since he left. And it's depressing for me because I was in a thread that Greg DeMarco was in, and we were talking about AEW, and I said, you know what, the EVPs and the fans have really ruined any chance that company has with me. And Greg replied back, he's like, you know, that's a shame because there's some really good workers there. And he's right, there are. Yeah. There's some really good talent. Like, I would love to get into Jungle Boy. Like, Jungle Boy just seems like a character I could get into. Orange Cassidy seems pretty cool. And taking it at face value, Eddie Kingston is a guy who could definitely get me to tune in to AEW television until he opened his mouth. And that's what screws it up for me. You know, these people that have something that I might actually watch. And then they flap off at the lips, and I'm like, nope, I got nothing for you.
Yeah. It's funny you say that about, like, the other people. You know, it's the EVP, because that's how I feel, too. It's like, every time I get, I tune into a Dynamite, I'm like, wow, Hangman Page, who apparently just got a monstrous reaction, because it is the first live Dynamite, which is good, and I hope they finally, I don't know, do something with it, and then stop doing... Hey, baby face with a drinking problem on the Wednesday night children's show. But anyway, my wife's in there watching right now because she's waiting for Chris Statlander and Orange Cassidy in a mixed tag match. That is all she tuned in for. So their people are there, man, and they just can't. It's the same problem in a way that WWE had in 2015, 2016. You don't want to watch WWE because it's not WWE. It's the Roman Reigns show. This isn't, I mean, it is called All Elite Wrestling, so maybe they knew what the hell they were doing from the beginning, but it's not AEW. It's being the elite on TNT at some points, and it gets kind of ridiculous. Yeah, and so just the shots, it's just like, I don't know. I can't remember the last time WWE even had anything. Like, I think it was, what's it called? Triple H's pissant, you know, company comment.
Pissant company. And over the years. And that
was directly in the face of a person who worked there. It wasn't like, hey, I'm firing off into a microphone. Billy Gunn was right next to him. And Billy Gunn works there. So that's as fair as it gets, in my opinion.
I think for people who like to point back at some of the stuff WWE's done, there's a bit of either revisionist history on their part, or they just flat out weren't paying attention. Like, yeah, you could look at the billionaire Ted and the huckster and the Nacho Man and everything they were doing with that. But like I said, it was very tongue in cheek. And it was, you know, just, and Vince being petty and Vince being bitter about two of his biggest stars jumping ship and going to the competition. But to be fair, even Eric Bischoff thought it was funny. Like, apparently there's a letterhead of Eric Bischoff, you know, because fax machines were the thing back then, faxing over that he thought it was hilarious and everything like that. Beyond that, I think the only other time WWE has ever even really acknowledged any other wrestling company was when Ric Flair came over with the big gold belt back in, what, 92, 93, Rob?
It was 91.
91, okay, 91. Yeah, it was 91 when he came over, and even then, I'll be flat out honest with you guys. I didn't think it was cool. Like, because I was a fan of both, but I was a huge NWA WCW fan in the late 80s, moving into the 90s. And while I thought it was cool that Ric Flair showed up on WWE TV, I'm like, all right, what is he doing with the belt and what are they doing here? So even back then at 17 years old, you know, I wasn't okay with it. And that's about the only time that I can think of other than the Huckster Nacho Man skits that Vince ever really acknowledged that there was a world of wrestling outside of WWE.
Now, I think the only references I can even remember, at least live on Raw or SmackDown, is not even references. It's just like them acknowledging that AJ and Brock were former IWGP heavyweight champions.
Yeah.
Like, they just say it. They don't say what IWGP means. They don't say what company it is. They're just like, they just rely on someone saying, IWGP heavyweight champion. And then, wow, with the way he said that, that must be a good big deal. Because if you don't know, they're not going to explain it to you. But seriously, that's it. That's all they do.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
In that case, in those cases, mentioning it actually adds to those people because it adds to AJ Styles. Say that he was that. It added to, when the Viking Raiders, when they won the tag team titles, they mentioned like IWGP, and they even said Ring of Honor.
Yeah, and they did.
And so, because I mean, it added to them. It's basically saying that these guys have won everywhere. Right. And I think when Hawk and Animal came over, they said when Hawk and Animal came over, it was the same thing. They was like, well, we won everywhere except here.
Also, they did that with Vader too when Vader came over. Yep. And that actually helps. It doesn't hurt the other companies.
Well, yeah, they're not treating them as lesser championships or anything. They're like, hey, this guy won the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. That's a big deal.
Yeah, they're using it to put him over.
A Ring of Honor Tag Team Champion. That's a big deal. Like, when they break it out, it's not like, well, can he hang with the big boys? It's like, no, they're just like, yeah, they were doing stuff at another company, and now they're here.
Yeah. It's, and even if you go back to the Monday Night Wars with all the back and forths, and there was a lot of back and forth back in that time. But if you go back, I've just started rewatching Monday Nitro from episode one about a month or so ago. In the first episode, Eric Bischoff starts taking shots at WWE. And then, got Mongo taking shots, Bobby Heenan, like all three of them. It was like a freaking chorus. And the first several episodes are that. And I'm like, okay, now we see where this crap started. And it wasn't like, you know, being tongue-in-cheek. It was legitimate shots to try and put their own company over. So, all right. So let's move into another short piece of business here. News came out, what was it, today or yesterday, Jimmy Uso again battling some issues, and he I guess got popped with another DUI. I'm not going to dig too heavily on this. I like Jimmy Uso. I really hope he gets the help he needs and gets it straightened out, man. Gets it figured out, because the guy's a hell of a talent. I'm sure he's a hell of a guy. He just, it sounds like he's got some issues, man.
Yeah, I mean, this one kind of, if anyone follows me on Twitter, this one kind of, you know, it set me off on a couple of things, because I'll be perfectly frank with you guys. I've been busted for a DUI, and it made me look inward a lot, and it made me change some things and made me do some things. I'm not going to get into all of that stuff, but suffice it to say that you really don't know what folks are going through. And addiction can be a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. It can make the high you get from your, you know, vice of choice, be it booze or drugs or whatever, that high, you will never get it from wealth, fame, whatever. And it's just a different animal. That your brain functions differently than a normal, I guess, normal human. And you just don't process things the exact same way. I'm not going to speak on Jimmy Uso, because I know Jimmy Uso. I don't know Jonathan Fatu. So I'm not going to comment on whether I think he's an addict, he's this, he's that. Because frankly, that's none of our business. That's none of anyone's business except his and his family's. And yeah, maybe he is just a jerk who likes to get drunk and thinks he's invincible and just will drive anywhere. That's not your place to say. You don't know this guy. But you know what? There are people in your life who are struggling with something that you might not know about. And they see your little jokey jokes towards Jimmy or towards Naomi, God forbid, or, you know, these people. They see how you treat those people. I did. I saw it when I was struggling with a lot of things, and I still struggle with a lot of things. You know, it's an ever evolving journey. But you don't know these people. They're not your family. They're not your friends. They're just characters on TV. When it really comes down to it, guys, I just really would like a little kindness from anyone, a little sympathy and a little compassion. Because yesterday was a real bummer with some of the things that I saw said about Jimmy Uso. So with that said, I wish him all the success and recovery in the world, him and his family and all them. I just hope he gets his mind right and gets straightened out. If he is just some jerk who likes to get drunk and whatever, then, you know, throw his ass in jail. You know, there's consequences for actions, unfortunately. I've paid him. Other people have paid him. It's going to happen. Just a little bit more compassion and be kind to each other.
Yeah. Rob, you got anything for this?
I'll piggyback on that same thing, because, I mean, they're in a business that chews people up and spits them out. They're in a business where a lot of guys have had those same issues. And it's not something you should make fun of, because, I mean, that business, there's a long trail of just broken people, you know, in that business and in the entertainment business as a whole. And it's not something to make fun of. And, you know, I've had family members who've had issues. If you grew up, like if you grew up in the DC metro area during the 80s, there was a whole, you know, well, I guess there's a whole long story about that, but it's just, And you never know when it might be somebody in your family, because, you know, you're not with all of your brothers and sisters and cousins or even parents. You're not with them 24/7. You have no idea what they're getting into when you're not around them. You don't know what feelings or emotions they are struggling with every day. And you may find out one day that somebody you know is dealing with the same thing. And then, you know, and you're going to make jokes about it then? I mean, I don't think so. Hope that whatever it is, you know, hope he gets help. Hope he gets through it. Hope he gets a better way of dealing with whatever he's dealing with. I mean, it could be anything. It could be, you know, I mean, it could be the pressure of being in this. I mean, he's in the biggest probably storyline of his career and his life, and that brings a lot of pressure. And I mean, who knows? I mean, it could just be that. And he feeling the pressure from being in that particular space now. You don't know. And like I said, show some compassion for him. And because, like I said, you never know when it might be somebody that actually matters to you. It's dealing with the same thing. And then if all you got is just jokes, I mean, what's that? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's all fun and games until it hits close to home. Yeah, best of luck to Jimmy Uso. I hope he gets it together. I hope he figures it out and, you know, he gets back to living a healthy and productive life, not only personally, but, you know, continues on to his career because he's had an amazing career so far and he's really standing on the edge of what could be the springboard to the next level for him. And I hate to see that come crashing down on him. So let's move on from that. Let's close this show. We would be completely negligent if we didn't discuss the date, July 7th, 1996, WCW Bash at the Beach. Rob, where were you the night the NWO was formed and Hulk Hogan did the unthinkable?
Okay, so at this point, yeah, I'd kind of been out for a while, and I was starting to pay attention again, just kind of dabbling here and there. So I saw live when Scott Hall came out of the crowd. You know, I guess what it was like a month or so before that, and that got my attention. I was like, oh, wait a minute, because I mean, I knew he was Razor Ramon, all right, and in the WWF, but that, even though I wasn't really watching regularly, I still knew who was who and whatnot. So I saw him come out of the crowd, and I was like, oh, damn. Like, okay. And so that got my attention. And then, you know, it was like a week or two later, you know, he comes out there again, and then comes next to me. I was like, wait a minute, that's Diesel. Like, what's going on here? You know, and then, mm-hmm. So they said this, well, we got a third guy. And I figured that the third guy was going to, it was going to be Lex Luger, because Lex Luger turns on people. He turned on people a lot. So I figured it was going to be him. Even though he was on the other team, I figured during the match he would switch sides and, you know, all that. I figured it was going to be him. So for it to be Hulk Hogan, and I understand, and for those of y'all who, you know, maybe are newer fans, you're talking almost a decade and a half of being like the ultimate babyface. And even with a few points here and there where it looked like he was getting a little bit, you know, coloring outside the lines a little bit, he always kind of returned to being the baby face. So at that point, it was unheard of. And like a lot of people now are like, well, wasn't it obvious? Like, well, no. Back then, no, it was not obvious, because back then we weren't all reading dirt sheets. There was no Twitter. There were no people, you know, like running with a bunch of scoops and whatnot. I mean, you saw what was on TV. And it was, you know, and it was like, oh my God, like they really did it. And, you know, and then the people throwing the trash in the ring, and then, you know, and then he, you know, he tells everybody to stick it and all of that. And it's just like, and it was just like, oh my God. And now, now looking back, it could have only happened there. He could not have done that in the WWF, because people just wouldn't have gone along with it. Because we saw when he came back, you know, as Hollywood Hogan against The Rock, they were cheering for him.
Yeah, they weren't buying it.
Yeah, so he had to do it in WCW, where he had never been fully embraced by the fans there, because then that's where, because it made sense. It made sense. Having a grudge against WCW fans made sense, because we never fully accepted him because he was always the enemy. And it, you know, that's, so it worked. It made sense to do it there, but it was still a shock. It was still a shock that he actually did that. And then he started, I mean, and again, that's basically what started the, I mean, you know, what led to the, you know, the Monday night, well, the Monday night wars were already going on, but that's basically what turned it into like a real thing. Like that was like Fort Sumter, basically.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, the North and the South were, they were kind of jawing at each other, but then the shots got fired. Okay.
Yep.
And that's what that, I mean, and, so it was just like, wow, this is crazy. And then, you know, Hall and Nash coming over again, if this, you know, in 2021, it would have been spoiled that they were leaving. Right. It would have been spoiled that they signed with WCW, and it would have been spoiled that well Scott Hall was seen backstage, you know, earlier today. Right. I mean, all of that would have been spoiled now. Back then it wasn't. So when it happened, you know, and we didn't know about the curtain call. Right? I mean, and all of that. I mean, so you know, everything was a surprise. Everything. And that's what really added to it. That, you know, everything was just such a surprise. And that's the thing we don't get enough of now. I mean, and that's why I was happy with the Zelina Vega thing last Friday, because I was legitimately surprised. I did not know she was, I mean, there had been reports and stuff, not that she, you know, whatnot, she'd been around the PC and all that stuff, but I mean, unless you actually really dug into that stuff and you know paid for the premium tier stuff and all of that, you didn't know she was coming back then that night. So, you know, when the whole NWO thing, that was the biggest thing. It was all just the surprise factor. No, we did not know this was happening. We did not see this coming. We did not see Hogan turning. We just didn't. And it was one of those things, because, and also it was just like, oh my God, all the, you know, Hogan is here. Hogan Savage was already there. Hogan Savage is here, and now these guys are here.
Right.
And this is crazy. And it got you to pay attention every week, because it was just like, well, because every week was like, damn, what are they going to do next?
Yep. It became must watch TV.
Yeah, totally.
And now, I mean, the only person that could do that now, like if Cena went to AEW, that's the only thing that would do that now. Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean,
right.
I mean, I don't see anybody other than that that could switch sides and would literally get people to watch every week just to see what they were going to do. That's really it. I just don't see anybody now who do, because I mean, right now it's just the spoiler stuff is just too out there, and that's, you know, and that sucks. But back then, we didn't know, and we didn't see it coming, and it was just, like, the greatest thing ever.
It was. But Jason, were you even, like, in at that point?
So, I was in, but I was real young, man. I was born in 85, so I was little when this stuff was going on. What I remember from the NWO, now keep in mind, I was, like, 9. What I remember from the whole NWO run was NWO versus Sting. Sting was my favorite guy, because I was just like, who's this dude in the trench coat with a bat beating the piss out of people? He's awesome. Because that was when I like first really got into wrestling. I knew who Hogan was as like via osmosis through Americana. But right. I never watched WWE. I didn't with any regularity anyway. I never watched any wrestling or anything like that. So my first experience was with Hollywood Hogan. But let me tell you, I hated that motherfucker.
In all the ways that you were supposed to.
Little Jason wanted Sting every week to come down from the rafters and just take the bat to every single one of their heads. So, like I said, I was so young, so I don't remember, like, oh, the booking, the this, the that, when this event happened, when that event. I can just tell you how I felt.
Yeah.
And my heart still kind of burns when I see Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Like, I get, like, shoot mad. Because I hate that dude. Never mind, Terry Bollea is even worse than Hollywood Hogan. We know that now. And, like, so it's just a big bag of crap there. But, no, the NWO was, like, they were undeniably cool. Even as a kid that hated them. Like, I hated them because I was a nerdy kid in school. Because I was like, oh, these are the cool kids who pick on me. But I even recognized that, you know? It was just obviously the wheels came off a year later or so once the NWO really got overcrowded and whatnot. But for that first little run, basically everything up to, I think, Starrcade and Sting finally beating Hogan in the most overbooked finish in the world.
Oh, Jesus.
Might have been the worst finish ever. It might have been the worst finish ever.
That's pretty awful.
You know what? You just have Sting hit the death drop, hit the death block, so Hogan taps out, and I promise we'll all go bananas. But anyway, I can just remember how the NWO made me feel, and I hated them, but they were undeniably cool. And which one of us hasn't thrown up a too sweet at everybody? Like, it's become an international wrestling secret handshake, pretty much.
Oh, my friends and I still do it to this day.
I do it with anyone I see at a wrestling show. I'm just like, any of my friends I see at a wrestling show, I'm just like, ah, too sweet me. Boom. And it's just like Sting versus the NWO was one of the most compelling bits of cinema. And of wrestling cinema anyway. And it was just fun. And that was when bad guy, like, I don't know. All I remember is how I felt. And it got me going in a way that I don't think some Roman Reigns storylines have worked me like as an adult. I've never been, obviously I was a kid then, so it's different, but the NWO was, that was, there have been many, many, many copycats. There will never be the same, quite the same as the original four anyway.
Yeah.
Or three, excuse me. Oh, four, if you count X-Pac, I guess.
For me, I kind of knew because I was with AOL, there were wrestling chat rooms and there was like the earliest, I can't even think of it, like the beta version of what would become World of News, and Meltzer was just getting his claws into that. So I'd heard of the fact that both Scott Hall and Kevin Nash were leaving WWE before they left. I knew they were leaving. I knew they were going to WCW probably a good month before they actually left. And I remember being pissed off about it. And I remember this was like in the very early stages of what would become the internet wrestling community. So I kind of knew, and I remember being pissed off about it. So when they first showed up, I was like, okay, it was really cool to see them there in the way that they did it. But I was just pissed off because I absolutely loved Razor Ramon. Like, I was the biggest mark for Razor Ramon at that time. Like, to me, he still stands as the one guy, probably the best wrestler they never put a world championship on, is Razor Ramon. He's like on my he's on my Mount Rushmore of those guys. And so for him to leave and then Kevin Nash to follow him, I was like, what the F is this? F these two guys. They're going to go back to WCW and be Vinny Vegas and the Diamond Stud again? What, for a paycheck? like, is that really what you guys are going to do here? Yeah. So I had no clue what they were going to be doing going back to WCW. I just knew I was pissed off about it. So when they showed up and again, like Jason was saying, when they first started to show up on Nitro, I was like, okay, wait a minute. Maybe they do have a plan for these guys. And maybe it's not just to be, you know, the bodyguard muscle for Diamond Dallas Page. So I was hooked in almost immediately with Scott Hall. And then, you know, really roped in with what they were doing with Kevin Nash, because, again, they were too cool for school. And I was like, okay, this is definitely different. This is not what they were doing in their first WCW runs. So, again, you watched it. It was appointment television. And then the night of Bash at the Beach, it was me, my friend Brian, Eddie, Jay. I think my girlfriend at the time was there. We were all at Brian's house, gathered around this itty-bitty little TV watching Bash at the Beach. And we were not there for the Hogan era WCW. So this was really one of the first WCW pay-per-views we had bought collectively in a while. And so we had no real preconceived notions. We're like, okay, we're going to watch the NWO beat up Sting and Macho Man and Lex Luger and, you know, go home on this. So you get down to the end, and it's just the NWO. Yeah, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash are running the train on these guys, and out comes Hogan. And just we're all sitting there like, ah, crap, here comes Hogan. He's going to blow this whole segment, right? And then all of a sudden, he drops the leg on Macho Man, and we blew the roof off the place. Like, four collective guys just said, what the F, like, in stereo. And my girlfriend is just sitting there with this huge, like, wide open stare on her face. Like, what did I just witness? And then there was, like, this silence after the fact. Like, what did we just watch? Like, what the hell was that? And it was so surreal to see that, because, like Rob was saying earlier, nowhere in a million years would you ever have anticipated this, and it would not have worked anywhere else but in WCW and in that exact moment. Aside from Stone Cold Steve Austin's babyface turn, this is probably one of the top three or four best storylines in professional wrestling ever. I mean, I don't know if you guys agree with that or not, but for my money, it was one of the best pro wrestling storylines ever.
Oh yeah, because it immediately ended when Sting won the belt at Starrcade, right?
Yeah.
That was the end of the story. Okay, cool.
So it just to me, when you look at this, and we don't have to dig too deeply into this, we really were watching wrestling history, because as Rob was stating to earlier, everything changed after that. Like, they definitely in that moment put WWE, WWF at the time on notice. And it was like, because WWF television was starting to get a little stale. For all you kids who weren't around back then, who think WWE product has gotten stale, rewind to WWE television pre-July 7th, 1996. It was getting pretty freaking bad. Like, we were sitting through some hot garbage at times. Not to say the wrestling wasn't good, because there were some really good wrestling matches going on. But the on-air storylines were not good. The angles were meh. And aside from maybe a handful of people, most of the talent was pretty – the gimmicks were pretty atrocious. And that was that whole thing with the NWO put the entire wrestling world, and more specifically WWE, on notice. And, you know, 25 years later, and I can't even believe I'm saying 25 years later, like
a quarter century later.
Yeah, a quarter. Yeah. Thanks, Jason. Thanks for letting me know how old I am, buddy. hey, you're almost a half a century old, sir. Did you know that? But yeah, man, to think about 25 years and what an impact the NWO made on the pro wrestling industry, and the impact that it made on me as a fan. Just, yeah. It's still mind-blowing, and I don't think we'll ever see that again. And no, if you're sitting here listening, AEW isn't it. Like, AEW will carve out its space, but it is not the second coming of the NWO. We are never going to see that again.
No, that was just something that it will never be mimicked again. Well, no, it'll be mimicked 1,000 times.
It'll never be duplicated.
It'll never be duplicated, exactly. And even now it's getting new. Like, basically, if you're in any sort of, you know, if you're in pretty much a lot of types of factions, you're taking your cues from the NWO in some way, shape, or form. Look at the Undisputed Era. Look at, obviously, Bullet Club is basically an NWO ripoff. But, like, they all kind of, just the way they carry themselves, the way they kind of work as a unit but don't. And it's just, that was a very formative part of modern day wrestling.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Rob, you got any parting shots on that?
Actually, it won't be duplicated. It'll be imitated. And because just the elements that you need to make it work again, just, well, they don't exist now. And it, and just the, with the, particularly with the wrestling media culture now, you know, just the surprise factor that you need to pull that off is just not there.
No.
Because, I mean, that's, you know, and that's, you know, sad.
Yeah, of course.
It is. There's a whole generation of fans that are growing up in an era of wrestling that, while the TV product can be fun, being a fan isn't as much fun as it was 25 years ago. It's just not, and that's not the fault of the business. That's just, you know, it's the fault of the internet. It's the fault of the rise of wrestling journalism and the fact that, you know, almost everybody in the business now has loose lips. And within seconds, somebody who knows something, the whole world knows it. And that's a tragedy. And I think more than anything else, that's what's hurt the business.
For me, it's that. And also, you know, I don't know, just to me, well, the kind of judging the characters on TV by the people who play the characters is another thing.
Yeah.
I mean, because back then, I mean, those three guys, well, Scott Hall was kind of had the kind of pedigree that the inter, you know, the IWC would be okay with. But I mean, Kevin Nash was a guy who will tell you he was there for the money.
Oh yeah. He still does.
Yeah. And, you know, and Hogan just, you know, well, he was not, well, the 1985 equivalent of the IWC had nothing for him either.
Oh,
so,
no.
I mean, so, I mean, with those three guys, you know, those were two out of those three guys were the just antithesis of what the IWC deems acceptable in 2021. And it's just, you know, a different time. And
right.
All right. Well, let's one more thing here. Actually, I think we're going to get out of here before the 90-minute mark, guys. This is almost a night off for us. We're just over an hour here.
There you go.
I do want to apologize to everybody again. I know we took, you know, we took 2 weeks off because I was on vacation about a month ago, and then the last 2 weeks have just been hit or miss with some personal issues. We did miss a mailbag thing that we're not going to get into tonight because I need to do a little bit more research on it. This one did, again, come from Brooklyn Ike. Ike, we will read that email next week, and we'll dig into that a little bit more because I want to forward this to the guys and give them a little time to maybe research on it and think on it a bit because I literally just opened up the mail tonight. It's the first time I've even looked at it in probably 3 weeks. I think Ike sent this on, Jesus, I'm embarrassed to say, he sent it June 11th. Yeah. So, and I went on vacation soon after that. And then just for a couple of us, the world fell apart. So, it's, you know, we'll get back to that. We'll get back on track. And the other thing that I missed out on last month was the 1 year anniversary of the Mindless Musings podcast, the greatest podcast on the planet.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Am I doing that right?
They don't have heart like this podcast does. DJ works harder than anybody in this goddamn industry, all right? And they had half the heart DJ did. Well, by God, they'd be podcast champion of the world.
Yeah.
Okay, as long as we did that right, I want to make sure we did that according to script.
Yes. Well, and if you bear with me for 30 seconds, I got one more thing.
Sure.
Well, it's Wednesday, so tomorrow we're giving the final send-off to best dad in the world, Robert L. Bonnet Sr. And without him, I'm not sitting here talking to you guys. So, Dad, love you, man. You were the best. And could not ask for a better father ever. And I hope I do you proud tomorrow when I, you know, say the few words I got to say tomorrow.
You're going to do great, man. We love you.
Let him know for me that he raised one hell of a good kid.
Absolutely.
So... All right, guys, why don't we go ahead and call the go-home spot here. Jason, again, thank you for coming on the show tonight, buddy. Hopefully you don't get stuck in catering again next week.
I'm hoping not, man. Hey, the food's good back there, though.
I see that. You guys have been eating really well here the last couple of weeks. That's pretty awesome.
We try.
Maybe I'll let you guys take the show one night, and I'll slide over into catering.
There you go.
And again, as always, from the Rob the Genius podcast, Rob, thank you again for being on tonight.
Always a pleasure.
All right. You guys have a good night, Rob. Just Godspeed to you tomorrow. Okay, man.
Thank you, Rob.
All right, everybody. Thank you again for listening to the show. We'll be back again next week. You guys be good to each other. Be nice to each other. And we'll catch you on the next one.